So to run till the battle's over. Soldier on, till heaven's portals are in view. Soldier on, till the Savior comes. If you follow in the way and
sinners plunged beneath that flood, whose on their guilty stains, whose on their guilty stains, whose on their guilty stains. Sinners plunged beneath that flood, whose on their guilty stains.
Ooh.
The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away.
In the darkness, sail or day is at hand. See o'er the foaming billows fair haven's land. Here was the voyage, sail or now almost o'er. Safe within the lifeboat, sail or pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sail or pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Trust in the lifeboat, sailor, all else will fail. Stronger the surges dash and fiercer the gale. Heed not the stormy winds, though loudly they roar. Watch the bright and morning star and pull for the shore.
Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heave not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore.
Bright gleams the morning, sailor, uplift the eye. Clouds and darkness disappearing, glory is nigh. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, sing evermore. Glory, glory, hallelujah!
Pull for the shore, pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heave not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and
on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Beneath the cleansing flood, he gives us victory. Amen. Victory in Jesus. So we thank God for that. Let's see. Just making sure all my stuff is working good here and you can hear me okay. I think you can. I should be up high enough here from that standpoint. So I'm only using two monitors. I've got something wrong with my other monitor, which I don't know what that is at all, period. I have no clue what it is. So I am going with what I have right here, right now, and trying to make it work. So Lord willing, it will work. Had some things to do today, couldn't get online earlier. Had some technical difficulties there, but and then, you know, I was just delayed by a few things. But anyway, got back in here and you know, I'll probably teach you something for about an hour or so, and then I'll probably take off today. So it won't be as long today, but we'll get back to it on Wednesday, Lord willing. Brother Joshua's chiropractic clinic is opening up, and I wanted to be his first customer. So, you know, he's got it all getting ready here. So we're doing all that fun stuff right now and seeing him. Watched him come here and get saved by the grace of God and get baptized, his wife get saved and baptized, him have some children, and him go back to college to be a chiropractor, and he did that, and then he graduated, and he got all his certificates and all that other good stuff, and, you know, so he's there. He's at that point of getting his business started. So you pray for him, Precision Chiropractic Care. You pray for him that God would bless and give him lots of people that he can help And his technique that he uses is a mixture, but it's a Gonstead method and a few other things that he does, and really helpful. So I think it's good. I think chiropractic care is very good, and I think it's very helpful. I think God made your body to be able to heal, and he made it to be able to work and function properly. So anyway, you guys, you can pray that the Lord would bless Brother Joshua and bless his endeavors that he does, and that would bless his business. And he's got a real burden for that, and he really wants to help people. I think chiropractic care is way safer than going to a hospital any day of the week. I've been to hospitals, and I see what they do to people, and I'm not very hip on hospitals. Before I let somebody take a knife and cut me, I'd let them crack my bones any day before I'd let them take a scalpel to me, cut my body open, and take body parts out of it. Just the way, I'm really not big on doctors. However, I thank God for them that they are there. I do thank God for hospitals. I thank God that the emergency room is there for the EMTs and for those nurses that love people and everything. I'm very grateful for those people too. I really am. But I've seen that firsthand. But I would much rather have somebody help me. And really what a chiropractor does is they make sure your nerves are working correctly. Because if there's pressure on the nerves from something that's wrong, then that affects the entire body. So anyway, I'm real leery about doctor's offices. I don't really trust them that much. I don't trust modern medicine that much. Anyway, but that's not what this broadcast is about. But however, it is something to think about. So a lot of times with those health concerns and things like that. So, good chiropractor really helps you a lot, but and helps keep you out of the hospital and off medicine and all that kind of stuff. But yep, hips and nerve pain. You need to find a good Gonstead doctor is what you need to find, Teresa. If you get in touch with Joshua Burnham, he could probably help you find somebody. And somebody that could help you out wherever you're at there. I'm sure he can find somebody. So you get in touch with Brother Joshua. He's a member of our church. So, and he understands chiropractic care, does a good job. So looking forward to seeing the Lord bless his work that he does there. And all that good stuff. All right. Well, listen now. I also, thanks for everybody that's on. And want to thank Brother Devin, who came for a visit. And it was a blessing to see him. Brother Devin's been listening to us for many years. And Holly couldn't make it, but his wife Holly, I just want to praise the Lord for her and thank her for sending the gifts for little baby Gideon. Thank you so much. And the coffee, which was outstanding, by the way. The coffee was very good, and I appreciated that very much. I don't know what kind that is, and I couldn't even describe it. But man, the name of it, I don't remember. But man, was it good. It is good. I drink it in a Keurig and drink it by the cup there, and boy, it is good coffee. So flavor was really good and different. I can't remember what it was called right now. It's at home, but... But Holly, if you're listening, thank you. I appreciate it. And my wife tried to text you. I don't know if you got it, but she did try to text you. So maybe you'll listen to this, and you'll be able to get in touch with her. She sent you a text sometime here. I think it was Saturday, but a Friday or Saturday, but I don't know. Anyway, and the outfits were great. Appreciate all that. That was nice. Thank you to everybody who sent us outfits and clothes and baby stuff and all kinds of cool things. We really are appreciative of it. Thank you. And we praise the Lord for that. Thank you for the gifts and for your charity and your care for us. We are very grateful for that. And you keep praying for my wife. I'm trying to keep her off her feet as long as I can. Just so she gets better because of just some complications that are female things. And she's got to get some kind of therapy and things like that that'll help her to strengthen her body up and everything like that. So you pray that the Lord would provide all of that and that she would get, I'd keep her off her feet for a few more weeks here and all that stuff before she has to get back moving and doing all that other stuff. So pray for her. I appreciate it. And all that good stuff. And we are very grateful for all those things. You know, I thought about something that here, and I want to talk to you about it here. And I've talked to you about it before, but it's just something that's kind of, because I've experienced it a little myself in my own Christian life and just how easy it is even to be a preacher and, you know, not pay attention to some things and be distracted by some things that eventually can really hurt us. And I don't know what the deal is with that, but let me just reset that. Maybe I can get that working right here. Wasn't wanting to work right. Now everything's not wanting to work right. What's going on here? I have no idea. There we go. I don't know what somebody did. You know, when people play with this stuff, I never get it working right. Anyway, I can't get this this thing over here, this monitor. I don't know what's going on with that. And then this thing was all crazy. But anyway, we got it. So, but, you know, I want to talk to you. The word is only one time in the King James Bible, but the teaching of it is everywhere. And I'm going to go through that with you today here for a little while. We're just going to do a little Bible study, shall we? How's that sound? We haven't done one of those in a while, just a straight up Bible study where we're just going to take some scripture and we're going to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. And I want to look at, I'm just going to check and make sure all my levels are coming in good. Y'all can hear me okay. It looks like I'm redlining it good, so you got that. That's working out fine. I just always want to make, I got to check to make sure because it's on the same one. So anyway, Let's get into this study a little bit and talk about this and talk about the concerns that I have about this issue and just kind of give you my own, a little bit of my own take on that and just some things that can distract us. And, you know, if you're not careful. Now, let me say this to you, that if you have any anxiety or any mental depression or anxiety or anything like that, PTSD or anything like that, you can be distracted very easily. You can have problems with concentration very easily. You can also, just miss something along the way if you're not careful, if you're not paying attention to something easier. Or you're not paying attention to something, you can get distracted and very easily. So, it's amazing to me how that can happen. But 1 Corinthians 7, 35 says, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction." Without distraction. That God would have us attend without distraction upon Him, that we would serve God, that we would attend Him without being distracted by things, without being, and this goes into not just service and prayer and Bible, but our entire life. Let me grab my Bible here. I've used this digital one, but hang on a second. Let me grab that. I don't know what it is, but I'm getting old and set in my ways, and I got to have my Bible. And even though I'm using this digital, I got to have my Bible in front of me. Even Brother Jacob bought me a Bible, and I haven't used it to its fullest yet. I might use it when I travel. But, man, I like having my Bible. Man, it's all wrinkly, and I got it all written up and underlined. And, man, I don't know what it is. I never thought I'd be one of those guys that had one specific one that I used all the time. I don't mean the version, but I mean the actual Bible. But, man, I've grown. This is... went with me through many struggles. This exact one is the Lord's used it to. I mean, through a lot of sorrow, through a lot of pain and suffering and tears and desertions and distractions and heartache and pain and everything you could imagine. And I still got it. I'm still underlining it. I still do things with it. I don't know, man. Now I'm getting to be the way that I want it in front of me. Even when I'm doing this, I want it in front of me. I love this stand that Brother Joshua got me here. This thing, it lifts up. I need one more. I need to get one for home probably, But anyway, I have it here, and I like it, and I use it all the time, and it lifts it up, and it puts it right in my face, and I don't know, I'm getting old and set in my way. I'm only 44, but I'm getting more stubborn with it. Anyway, but the Bible tells us that God wants us to wait upon Him without distraction, but that's in every area of our life. It isn't just the areas... of, you know, service in the sense of with others and Bible devotion and study, but it's our entire life. And it's every aspect of our life. And if we're not careful and if we're not paying attention, we'll get distracted over the, you know, with the responsibilities that we have. We'll stop paying attention to important details and not notice that we've drifted or we've allowed something under our care to be neglected. And that we have to be careful of. And Paul, he's dealing with marriage and other things here, but the principle is there for all of us. And that is that we may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And I want to share with you some of the things that I believe in these end times that are extremely extremely dangerous. Extremely. Now, the first thing I want to look at is the word, two words, be sober, 8 times in the King James Bible. Be sober. The Bible warns us 8 times in the King James Bible. Be sober. A lack of sobriety will lead to being to distractions that will cause sin in your life. So the Bible says here, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. says here, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. You know, there are so many people that are drunk on entertainment. They're drunk on the world. And I'm telling you, it isn't directly what you're being drunk on in the sense, I'm not talking about liquor, I'm talking about intoxication with this world. It isn't so much the thing that you're intoxicated with, it's what you miss by being intoxicated with it. So some people are intoxicated with liquor. And that causes a chain reaction of neglect in other areas. Well, I'm telling you that if you're not being sober enough, if you're not walking in sobriety, and I'm not talking about drinking booze, I'm talking about being drunk on the affairs of this life. I'm talking about being distracted by the things of this life. By the sins and the weight that doth so easily beset us. Not walking in sobriety, but you know what? Being like thinking you got to be entertained constantly. That's a lack of sobriety. When you don't want to think soberly and seriously, it's a lack of sobriety. It's a problem. And it's going to lead to sin. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So, Titus chapter 2, that the aged men be sober. Why? Okay, what's another idea? That, you know what? A lack of sobriety in your Christian walk. I mean, you always got, you know, if the bulk of your Christian life, and that doesn't mean we don't have joy, we're not, you know, we don't love one another, we don't, you know, we don't laugh and we don't enjoy our lives. Doesn't mean that. What it means is that we're not taken by it. You want to know one of the number one things, the lack of sobriety, one of the number one weapons One of the number one weapons that is used is humor. That's one of the number one weapons that can be used is humor. If we involve ourselves with what the Bible says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. If we're not careful, we fill ourselves up with jesting, which are not convenient, right? If we fill ourselves up with those things and we're not careful, then we won't be able to carry on a serious thought. Right? If you entertain your mind so much with things like that, if you entertain your mind so much with things like that, one of the dangers of doing that is that your mind gets used to never focusing, never concentrating, never praising God, always looking for a laugh, always laughing about everything. It's not a healthy place for a Christian to be. Not at all. In fact, it's, you know, again, we do laugh, we do have a good time, there's nothing wrong with that, but if we're not careful and that's all we do, then we act like children and we don't act like men. And we don't lead sober and serious lives. But let us who are of the day be sober. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Sound in patience. That they may teach the young women to be sober. You got to teach. What is the opposite of a sober woman? I'll show you. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. Silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. What do those silly women do? Well, look what they do. The aged women likewise, they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. I'll tell you, it's one of the hardest things. You have to really be careful with your words. Let me tell you something about ladies, especially too. Ladies, you have to be extremely careful what you say. Extremely careful with what you say. And why is that? Because your words matter. Your words matter, and you've got to speak with sobriety, with no levity. Men, we should teach our young men, when they speak to women, young women, older women, whoever they are, that they don't speak with levity, with leaven or any levity. They have to be very careful. And younger women, and women especially, that their words are very weighed. If when in doubt, shut your mouth. When in doubt, shut your mouth. I will therefore that the younger women marry. Look what it says here. Because here's another thing about what we say were distractions. I'm going to show you this right now. Because here's another thing that's distraction, especially for women. Some of you women get in a whole lot of trouble because you're not busy enough with the right things. And with all, they learn to be idle. Now, mamas, you got to teach your daughters to be busy. You know, I'm getting ready to, I've got a series that I've written out by hand. I think it's going to be a series. It's going to be a courtship series on a man and a woman, the proper spouse, choosing the proper spouse. And it's all from the book of Ruth, or a lot of it will be taken from the book of Ruth. And anyway, some of the things that are in there. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation. So he's speaking about another topic there, which we're not going to get into today. And with all, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers. Okay, let me stop here and say this to you. You guys on the thread, try to pay attention. I'm not against you talking. That's why I have the thread there. But keep your comments minimal and listen very closely so you can learn. You'll miss a lot of things along the way if you're not careful. You'll miss a lot of good teaching here by commenting too much about things. Checking in, saying hi, that kind of thing. Yeah, I get it. But you know what? Save the comments for when we're all done. And I'll open it up and we can all talk for a little while at that time. But don't get distracted. But the younger widows refuse. Okay, so we talked about that. I will therefore the younger women marry. What does he say here? And with all, they learn to be idle. Peter, I understand what you were saying. Don't worry about that. I agree exactly with what you're saying. And by the way, you're welcome anytime to come visit here. But look what it says here. And with all, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. So they're just going off everywhere, visiting people, running around, not busy. Wandering about from house to house. And not only idle. So they're not only idle. By the way, they're still doing something. They're in people's houses, but they're not doing anything productive. But tattlers. So they see the faults of people. By the way, if you're privileged enough to be invited into somebody's house, the last thing that you, and I'm talking about God-fearing people, the last thing you ought to be doing is exposing their faults to other people. Guess what? If you go to any family's house, if you're around them anytime, you're going to figure out that that family has faults. Shut your stinking mouth. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't expose their family's faults. Pray for them. You're supposed to love them, not bash them. But tattlers also in busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. This is one of the problems right here. You want to talk about a distraction? This is one of them. You get distracted and you get yourself a woman that's not busy serving the Lord. If she's a single woman especially, you'll get yourself distracted on everything else but what's important. Says, but tattlers. busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, that they get married. Why? Keep them out of trouble. Bear children. Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So you don't need to spend your days doing that. You need to be sober. That's a silly woman laden with sins. That's what those are. Young men have to be careful that their words are very sober mind. Doesn't mean they're not ever having fun. They are kids. But it means that they're not carried away with it. One of the number one ways is of trouble in your life, to cause trouble, to make things really bad, or to get you distracted so then you get into sin, you're not paying attention, is a lack of sobriety. It absolutely is. It's a dangerous place to be. It isn't always the reason why we're distracted. Sometimes, you know, we'll get to that in a second. But it's one of the main reasons that we'll park here for a while. Because it's one of the main reasons. First Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. You got to gird them up, support them, hold them up. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Sober people are paying attention. They're paying attention to what's going on around them. They're not distracted by levity. But they're sober. Somebody asked the question, is it okay to talk to your husband about things like not gossip, but your relationship details? If it's your own husband, yeah, it's okay to talk to your husband about anything. Absolutely. Or if you're having a problem with somebody else. Your husband's about the only exception of somebody that you can talk to like that, that you should be very open with and talk to about all those things. A spouse is like the number one in that sense. Besides the Lord, obviously. I'm talking about earthly. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. You want to get yourself in trouble, just let your mind flop all over the place. So you want to keep your mind, you want to have your mind girded up. And then it says, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Our hope is always forward. hope to the end. Right? As, how do we do that? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Well, I'm guessing this is a troll, but let me say this. Todd Flanders says, so women are supposed to be just wives, serving husbands meals only and used as vessels of making kids, not anything else, not actresses, models, singers, politicians, teachers. Well, I'm glad to answer that question. Number one, my wife is way more than just someone who serves me meals. My wife is way more than someone who just births my children. My wife does way more than anything you could ever imagine. And as far as being a singer, my wife sings right in my home. As far as being a politician, well, she's too honest to be one of those. As far as being a teacher, my wife is a teacher, just so you know. But what she isn't is a silly slut laden with sins. That's what she isn't. And what do you mean only? Do you realize that there isn't anybody that could pay the amount of money that it takes to pay a wife that is submitted to her husband and walking in the fear of the Lord? Do you know there isn't enough money in this world to buy a virtuous woman? That there isn't enough money in this world that can put a value on raising children for God, raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, raising them and helping them to have a family, to be raised with sobriety, to be raised with stability in their home, to be raised and cared for? Do you know there is nothing absolutely that this stinking, rotten, wicked world can offer my children that my wife can give them? There isn't absolutely anything at all that you could put a price tag on to have a husband and a wife that is walking with God. Your garbage out there being actresses and lawyers and doctors and all of those other things mean nothing compared to what it means to fulfill the will of God. Because that's why God brought my wife into this world, to fulfill the will of God. And what is the will of God? Exactly what I read to you. And you can't put a price on that. You absolutely can't put a price on that. You look, I have men in my church that are professional businessmen, that are bankers, that are linemen, that make a lot of money. And I'll tell you what, you ask any one of those men if they believe the $50,000 to $100,000 they make can get anywhere, they could, that could buy them what it would take to have someone care for their children. Right? Ask them. Ask them. Because Todd Flanders, all you've done is been a distraction. But all you've really done, I wouldn't do that to my wife. I don't treat, Todd Flanders says, I don't treat my wife like a servant. Oh, really? What do you treat her like then? Todd, if that's even your real name. Because I try to treat my wife like the Bible says to treat her in Ephesians chapter 5. What's normal, Todd Flanders? What's normal? What does that mean as a normal human being? What does that mean exactly, Todd? Where do you get your basis of normality? What's your final authority for that, Todd? As a normal, what's your final authority for that, Todd? What's your objective standard of all truth, Todd? I know, but see, I know how to take, you guys don't, what you guys have to understand is, I know how to take this book, and even though he's making it distraction, I'll make it a Bible lesson. Because by God's grace, I know his word. So that's okay. I'm also a street preacher. Well, Todd says not to be a tyrant and let her be anything she wants. Well, Todd, let me explain something to you. God is the one that made the order of the sexes. God is the one that lays it down. Just because you play God, Todd, doesn't mean you are God. See, you have to answer to God. You have to answer to God while you're playing make-believe with your wife. While you're telling your wife you can be whatever you want to be. That, Todd, is not Bible. That, Todd, is your own fantasy. Because she can't be anything she wants to be. You know why? Because if she wanted to be a professional boxer and get into a boxing ring with a 250-pound man, he would crush her skull! Sorry, Todd. Some people use logic, and some people use stupidity. Okay, back to our lesson now. The Bible says, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 5, how to treat a wife. That's what the Bible says. It says how to. And I really don't mind it when you come on this broadcast and you want to try to shame me. Like I said before, let me review with you guys. I've already said what I believe. Right? And I don't apologize for it. I've already said what I believe. I don't apologize. So if you come on here and try to shame me with that, I'm going to take the scriptures and show you that no, you don't get to be whatever you want to be. You get to be what God said. Amen. See, my authority comes from the scriptures. It doesn't come from the way I feel. It doesn't come from what I think or what I imagine. See, Todd's no different than a transgender. Because Todd says his wife can imagine what she wants to be, and she can actually be it. You know what it sounds like? When I was on mushrooms one time, and I ate a bunch of mushroom dust, and my friend, I looked over at him, and he was all tripping out. And he told me that he was and I told him he was an orange. And he cried out, and he yelled out, "Oh no, man, I'm an orange!" Was he an orange? No. He thought he was. But he wasn't really one. See how diluted that is? That comes from somebody without a sober mind. And this is what I'm trying to show you. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. See, you don't get to be sober-minded and not to be distracted, you don't get to be something that you're not. You're told, well, this is the Bible. Now, don't fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Don't do that. Don't do that. But, see, there's a contrast here. We were deceived. What does Ephesians tell us? Let's look at that real quick. Man, I love being in the Bible, and I love not having any notes at all sometimes. I really do enjoy that. You know why? Because I can go anywhere, and I can just keep going through the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I like that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that he quickened us together with grace, or with Christ, excuse me, together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, you were walking that way. Right? He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance. You got to be sober-minded. You got to think like a Christian. You're to put on the mind of Christ. You're to think like Christ. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So God has called us to be holy. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions of your fathers. You know, so if you're not careful and you're not sober-minded, you get carried away. You'll be in trouble. All right, Joseph. One guy coming back saying he's going to kick my butt. Well, all I got to say to you, buddy, is get in line, because there's a very long line of people that would love to kick my butt. There's a very long line of people that want to do that, okay? But you know something? I'm going to leave that all up to the Lord, because I used to be a fighter with these hands right here. Now, I'll protect myself without hurting you, of course, which would probably not be that difficult, to be honest with you. But here's the thing. I'll protect myself, but at the end of the day, I'll leave that up to God to take care of you. I'm not worried about you. I'm here as long as God wants me to be here and doing what God wants me to do. You can threaten me all you want to. Won't be the first time. Get in line. Lots of people have wanted to. Lots of people have tried to. But God has taken care of me. That's okay. I'm not worried about him. But let's look at this. So a lack of sobriety will do that to you. Isn't it amazing how a simple Bible study that we're having here, simple Bible study. I woke up this morning. Actually, I went to bed last night, really, but I don't know. I kind of felt like I was in the thick of it. You know, I was just in the thick of it. My mind and everything else, and now I get it. Now it kind of comes out. It makes it, okay. So God's showing me, all right, yep, you tick Satan off. He's mad. So, okay, that makes sense. Be sober. Be vigilant. And there's a reason. Cindy Crockett Bradley, how are you? Good to see you on here. Hope you're doing well. I appreciate your prayers. I know you pray for me and my family, and I very much appreciate that. Be sober. Be vigilant. Guys, listen. We got to be sober and we got to be vigilant. We got to be driven. We got to do things on purpose, right? We have to. There's a reason why we have to be so sober. We got to walk in sobriety. We've got to take an inventory check. We got to look around. Right? We got to do that. We got to take an inventory of our own selves. We got to take an inventory of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we got to look at others around us. We got to be careful. Be sober. Be vigilant. You know, I'm going to figure out how in the world, and I don't know where that went, but maybe it's over here somewhere. I don't know why that always disappears on me, but I hate that. I'm just getting fussy. I get fussy in my old age, man. I know I'm only 44, but the older I get, the more like set my ways I get with stuff like that. And I'm like, where in the world is my stuff and why doesn't it work? Oh, it's funny. I got a lot of years. Lord willing, I got a lot of years on this earth. But I'm telling you, I can't find my something or other here. I don't know why that won't work. I don't know why that's doing that. Anyway. But be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. You know, we have to be sober because we got an enemy around us. And he's everywhere. And that's just not Satan himself, but that's his entire kingdom, right? It's his entire kingdom that's around. And he's everywhere. That word vigilant means watchful, circumspect, attentive to discover and avoid danger. So, not for just us, but for others. Like as a pastor, I'm to be a shepherd that's not sleeping, but is sober. That I'm to be sober, I'm to be paying attention to my flock and the needs of the flock that God has given me. And to watch over them. And to look for danger, be vigilant to look for danger for them. And to warn them. To warn them when danger's approaching. Joseph Waller says, as soon as the pandemic's over, I'll be coming to Minneapolis. When we meet in person, you won't be booting me off this time. If I get arrested, I'm going to show police these videos. Well, you show them whatever you want to. You show them whatever you want to, buddy. I highly doubt you'll see me face to face anyway. Whatever happens, the Lord will deal with you. Whoever you are, and whatever you are, and wherever you are, I'm not too concerned about it. You can tell them whatever you want to about me. I don't care. You can lie about me all you want to. However, if you get into slander, you better be awful careful. Because if you slander me and you accuse me of something, well, you'll deal with it. You'll deal with the legal repercussions of that. So, but, you know, I have a feeling God will deal with you anyway. Fools like you don't do too well when they don't repent. Anyway, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. See, I love it. You know, I got to play this right now. I love it. This is I love it. Man, where is it? I got to play this song right now, and then we'll get back to our teaching here.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die a fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. Oh, keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight, be brave
against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
God will only use the soldier he can trust.
Keep on the firing line.
If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must.
Keep on the firing line.
Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer.
Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight.
Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. When we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. So keep on the firing line.
I know you must fight.
Be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Amen. Sorry about that, Ramona. I accidentally cut you off there. That was a mistake. I hit the wrong button. But I hope you're back on now. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to do that. Apologize. Well, I don't know who Joseph Waller is. But for some reason, I made him mad somehow. But it's the gospel that made him mad. Oh, Joseph, you just need to be saved by the grace of Almighty God. That's all, Joseph. You don't have to be mad at me. I'm just the messenger. That's all I am. But... All right, let's keep going. Be sober, be vigilant. So that word vigilant means to be watchful and be circumspect and to be paying attention, right? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. We resist him. Steadfast in the faith. That's what we do. Amen. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. This is what God does. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. That's God's work. Now, so lack of sobriety is one of those things, you know, needing to be entertained. Another thing, though, that we have to be careful of is God's children, fathers, husbands, fathers and husbands, and the like. They have to be careful, right? They have to be watch. Let's see. That would be 2 Timothy 2. Here's another thing that I want to show you here. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Whoops. 2 Timothy Now, I like this. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, oh, here's the warning, my friend. Listen closely. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Man, you want to know something? I didn't even feel like getting on today. I really didn't. I was like, man, I don't really want to get on and do nothing right now. I didn't really want to, but man, I'm fired up now. I am fired up like you wouldn't believe. I'm enjoying this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We've got to endure hardness in these end times. Here's what he says. And this is a warning to preachers, but it's a warning to all of us. No man that warreth. Let me ask you something, Christian. Brother or sister in Christ, let me ask you, are you warring? Would you describe your Christian life as a war? There are many aspects to the Christian life. But do you consider your Christian life a war? Is it a war? It ought to be. What are you fighting? And I'm talking about spiritually. What are you fighting? There ought to be a war going on. You ought to be at war. The Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself. Let me ask you something. With your job, and I'm talking about Christian men, with your job, with anything, whatever it may be, with your profession, with your plans, with your desires, with everything else, are you entangled with the affairs of this life? So entangled that you can't do anything for God? Ask yourself that question. Am I so entangled with the affairs of this life that I can't do anything for God? Are you in a war against the world, the flesh, and the devil? Spiritually? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Are you entangled or are you fighting? You're either entangling or you're warring. Because Paul says very specifically, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. So no Christian man is so driven by his upward mobility, his job, his work, his wants, his desires, his entertainment, his amusements, his hobbies, everything else. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That's right. That's what Paul said. He doesn't do that. No man that's warring gets so entangled. By the way, is your job and your career a means for you to serve the Lord and be faithful to God and provide for your family? Or does your job and your career absolutely define who you are? Or does Christ define who you are? Does being a Christian define who you are, or does being a roofer or a hunter or a banker or a lineman or whatever the case may be, any of it, do those things define who you are, or does Christ define who you are? Are you defined by being a Christian? And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. See that? But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. So he's talking about in the context of a single person, yeah, you know, in the time of danger that Paul went through. He's not talking about all forever, but there's a principle there that he's talking about. And what is that? Using this world as not abusing this world. Not abusing this world. But we have to use it. Sure we do. We got to have jobs and careers and money to be made, and we got to go out in this world. Man, it's hard to drink a lot of water when it's 40 below outside. Anyway, but praise God for that too, right? And they that use this world is not abusing it. No man that warreth. Are you warring? Because if you're not, you're being distracted. If you're not warring, you're entangled. No man that warreth and taketh himself the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. See, that's just what it is. Why aren't we to be entangled? Why aren't we to be entangled? Because we're called to please, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Dad checked in. I love you too, Dad. Hope you're doing well, and I'll see you in a little while here. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's why we don't get entangled. That's why, so we can war a good warfare, so we can fight the good fight of faith without distractions. Which, another distraction, here's another one, 1 Timothy 6:10. Actually, let's go back. But godliness with contentment, verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. There it is. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I want to stop here, and I want to cover something here too, because I've seen this before, and there's a danger in it. You know, we have prosperity preachers, and they're rich and they're wealthy, and, you know, we look down on that, and we should, and we preach against that, and we should. And they love money, and they're wolves, and that's all true. I believe all that, and I've exposed that and preached against that and all those things. But let me tell you, there's another danger, what I've seen. I've seen men that get in all in an uproar about tithing and giving to a local New Testament church. And I've watched those men that get so upset about a preacher, if he talks about tithing or offerings or whatever the case may be. But you know what I've noticed with that? Most of those men are very covetous men that have a problem with that. And they mask that covetousness. They mask that covetousness in having a problem with tithing and offerings and all that kind of stuff. I've seen that. And I've watched them get very angry over that. And act like every preacher's out for money. All of them are rich, all of them are this, all of that. And they really minimize the office of a bishop and the work that God has for them to do. I've watched it. I've seen it. I've seen it. And the reason they do it is because they're covetous. That's why. They don't like it. But godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, there's been a lot of people that have been distracted by money. They get into churches, they get saved, they start serving the Lord, but then they get distracted by money. And they stop paying attention. They get distracted by their job, and they get distracted by making money, and then their home suffers. As a father, they're not paying attention to things in the home. They're not paying attention to their children, how they're being raised. Their children are on the internet. Their children are doing things they shouldn't do. Their children are being caught up in sin. Their children are being... And that can happen to any of us. Doesn't have to be sin either in that sense. I've preached on things and then had to go home and straighten things up in my house and be like, well, you know, we're going to tighten up on this. I did that just today. We're going to tighten up on this. I don't like this. This isn't going to happen anymore. We're going to fix this. I'll blame myself for it and we'll fix it. But we're not going to do this because we're going to be careful. Because we have an enemy that's ever walking about seeking whom he may devour, and we're not going to give him any bullets to shoot us with. By God's grace, we're going to resist him steadfast in the faith. Well, Carl, all I can tell you is that people that have come to this church that have not had anything, I've taken out of everything that was given to this ministry and I've given to them. That's what I've done. So if they were poor and they had nothing, we gave to them. We took care of them. That's what we did. That's what we did. And that's what we've continued to do. People that were homeless, people that didn't have anything, people that were, that came to us like that. That's what we've done. We plan on doing a whole lot more than that when God gives us opportunity to. But that's what we've done. And that's what ought to be done. It's always a burden that we have when the Lord provides. But, so many people have that covetous, that love of money. And they get distracted by it. And by the way, you mentioned that, and that is the flip side to that. Let me say that to you. Did you know that there's another, just because somebody is poor, and I'm not picking on Carl. Because I'm not talking about him, but I'll use what his words are. People can be very poor. And it's not just rich people that love money. Poor people can love it just as much as rich people can. People that are very poor can take pride in that and they can love money. More than rich people can. Oh, it's true. The love of money is not just for rich people, it's for poor people too. So we must always guard ourselves against that. That's one of the things. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. So as fathers, we can't be so wrapped up in career and business and money and everything else. It's just like me. I don't want to preach the gospel to everyone in the world and preach and do these broadcasts to everybody and then ignore things in my own home. Right? I have to be careful about that. that I don't become so wrapped up in ministry that I ignore my home. We all have to. But as a pastor, I have to be careful about that. I can't sacrifice my family for the ministry, or you can't sacrifice your family for your job. As a father, you have to be engaged in your home. You and I have to be engaged in our family. You know, we have to be, as a husband, you have to be engaged in your wife's needs. You have to be looking about for her and watching and guarding and guiding. Right? So there's a proper balance that needs to be taken care of. Otherwise, we can become distracted. And that's very dangerous. All right, I think I'm going to stop right now here and get going here. But I'll give you a chance to say a few words here before we go. And I mean, I could go on and on, but maybe we'll pick this up and I'll teach some more on it. There's definitely more things that we could talk about for sure. But I think that gives us a good start.
Complete in thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and I am now complete in thee.
Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Complete in thee each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied.
Okay, Peter or Stephen asked, what if a congregation can't afford to give enough money to the church so the pastor can be fully dedicated to the ministry or even always do that? Well, we didn't. This church wasn't able to do that. When I first started, I worked a full-time job, and I pastored for the first five years of the ministry. After that, when we separated from our sending church, the Lord led me to walk away from that job that I had. I sold an extra vehicle that I had to limit my debt down, and we did not take 501c3. We did not take the tax exempt status. We did not take a nonprofit organization status, and we went right in and just trusted the Lord. And I did part-time work here and there as the Lord led, but now I don't have any time for it, and the Lord provides. So that's what we've done. So I teach all of our men that will go out and start churches, Lord willing, that they should have a trade. That they should start out with a trade, and they should start out knowing how to provide for their family until that church gets into such a place where they can wait upon the Lord completely without distraction. They can serve the Lord and they can serve Him full time without being distracted. Yep.
Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more.
Justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation.
Amen. All right. Complete in him. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you, everyone. I hope you had a good day, and I hope you learned some things along the way here, some things that'll be good for you, and some good preventative maintenance, I would say, that the Lord gives us. And I'll put that over here. And if you want to find us, you can find us on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can find us there. You can also, if you want to give to our ministry, you can do that too as well. There's a mailing address down here, and you can put it. You can put a check in there, or money order, whatever you want to do. Or you can do salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. And you can use those as PayPal addresses. You click on here, click on the give button here on our page there, and you click on PayPal. But anyway, so, you know, we thank the Lord for that. Oh, we don't need anything, Brother Peter. I appreciate that. We're doing fine. We've been blessed with things, and I don't want anybody to be put out by you know, getting us stuff. If it's a blessing to you and y'all want to do it, that's fine. But we're not in any dire need. The Lord is taking care of us, and my wife said she's going to need baby clothes for bigger babies, the bigger baby. But as he gets bigger, because he's already 10, he was 10'4 last time she weighed him. So he's getting bigger. He's getting out of those clothes. So we haven't had a boy for 15 years. So we got a lot of clothes we're going to need. But the Lord provides, and we're not in any dire need. I saw that, Teresa. I like that. That was funny on your Facebook page. I saw that. So we're blessed, though. We're doing good, and I appreciate all the gifts and everything that everybody has done. I certainly do. I'm very grateful for that. And I don't ever want to stop anybody either, because I don't want to tell people no, don't do anything, because that's not my place to do either. That's the Lord that leads in any of those areas. So, but God has definitely blessed us. And we're very grateful for it, and grateful for your giving and everything else that the Lord has led you to do. We're very grateful for that. So anyway, all right, God bless you all. Take care, and we'll see you probably, Lord willing, on Wednesday.